UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. How are you this week? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Tonight's guest is Isa from Switzerland and she will be sharing her experiences of seeing a bright light above her neighbor's house that left her somewhat perplexed, an out-of-body experience and seeing a strange being standing in her bedroom doorway when she was a child. Isa is up next. But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. And welcome to the show.
Good morning, Nick, and thank you for having me on the show.
It is great to have you with us, and you're calling from Switzerland.
Yes, I'm calling from Switzerland, from a rural area, yes, where I've been living for over 10 years now.
Wonderful, home of my favourite chocolate, Toblerone.
Thank you. It's world famous and it's actually really good. Yeah.
World famous. You can find it at every single airport.
Yes. Right next to the Belgian chocolate.
Exactly.
Which is also very good.
Beautiful. Well, I shouldn't have too much these days, I must admit. Now, you have some experiences you're going to be sharing with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, ma'am?
Yes. Yes, of course. Thank you. I had three experiences, but I think I will start with one that is about UAP, a UFO, or a phenomena, UFO a phenomena that it must have been in 2017 or 18. I really didn't note the date. I just remember I woke up around 3 in the morning and I couldn't sleep anymore. I got up and went downstairs, opened the window to the terrace and lit the cigarette. That's a classic, as I heard in other podcasts, but it's actually really true. And I was looking at the night sky. I'm a hobby astronomer, so whenever I'm outside at night and it's a clear night, I observe the night sky. And I was looking at a bit to the south. My house is facing southeast and to my right, south, just a bit off south to the southwest. There's my neighbor's house. And I was not looking at my neighbor's house, but at the sky, and I could see a very bright light. It was a warm, bright light. And I thought, and it was huge. It was about, and I had to note it down too, it was about 3,000 feet above the ground, approximately. It's very hard to tell, but it wasn't very, very high up on it. It wasn't actually just over the house of my neighbor, but it was really close. At first, I thought, well, it can't be a planet. It's not Venus. It's not a plane. It's not a helicopter. There was no sound. There, what was very particular is that this light was getting brighter and then it would dim again. I couldn't see any structure. I could just see this bright light getting brighter, then it would dim again. And it was stationary, so it didn't move. And no sound again, no noise. And I was just, you know, my brain was just working by deduction. It's like, okay, no plane, it's not a helicopter, it's not a planet, it's not a... There was no red giant star in that area. I think it was in spring. It wasn't very cold. So I knew, because I'm observing the night sky regularly, so I know the positions of the celestial objects most of the time quite well, depending, of course, of the season and the time of the night. And I could really exclude any astronomical object. Then I was thinking maybe it could be a weather balloon. Again, it didn't move. It was stationary. I was observing it for about, I think it's been, it was there between 5 and 10 minutes. So it was quite a long time. I really wasn't scared. I was so, it made me so curious. I thought, well, I have never seen anything like this. And I was really enjoying the view. I was like, that's very interesting. And I just can't figure out. It's not a drone. And maybe just to let you know, we live quite near to a military airbase here in Switzerland. And we're used to aircraft, jets, fighter jets. Sometimes we have also civilian aircrafts coming in. So I know how their lights are and how they are, the noise. And I can even tell if it's an F-18 or if it's another jet. And I have been also with my dad during my childhood. I spent most of my childhood with my dad in his airplanes. So I know airplanes quite well from inside and outside. So I really excluded that. And what was funny, because after those 5-10 minutes, all of a sudden this object just disappeared. It's like somebody turned the light off and it was gone. There was no trace. I couldn't see it fly away. It just vanished within just no time. And I went back to sleep. I wasn't scared. I was I thought that's so interesting. And the next day I didn't speak about it to my husband, not because I felt ashamed, or I just thought, well, I will first speak with my dad, who was a pilot. He has died in the meantime, unfortunately. He has passed away. And I called him the next day because I was curious to because he is also, he was also a hobby astronomer and a pilot. And I told him, you know, Dad, I made this observation last night, about 5-10 minutes. Everything I now just explained to you, I explained to him. And I said, it wasn't a jet, it wasn't a plane, a civilian plane, it wasn't a helicopter, there was no noise. And he's like, oh, that's interesting. Well, and he's like, are you sure it wasn't a bright star? Maybe sometimes, you know, with the turbulence in the atmosphere, it can, you know, we know from, for example, Sirius, the star Sirius, it's like blinking a bit. But that's because of the atmosphere. The star itself isn't blinking. It's just an optical phenomena. And I said, no, there was no bright star. There's no red giant. There wasn't Antares or Betelgeuse. And it would have been way off the position anyway. And he said, oh, maybe a supernova. I said, yeah, well, it would have been over the news if it would have been a supernova. And there was nothing in the news. And he was, my dad was very, also very pragmatic, scientific, and he was like, well, we can't explain, we will never know. And he was always very, very modest, you know, and he told me, yes, we don't know everything. There are things we just can't explain. And that was very comforting to me, and I didn't really think about it much afterwards. Sometimes I'm thinking about it again, and it was, and maybe something, and I later told my husband, but only about 2 years ago. So that was in 2017 or 18, and I told my husband about in 2022 only. And he was like, well, but you have so many cameras, and you have a telescope, and you're so well equipped. Why didn't you take a picture? And I'm like, well, I know, but when I was standing there, it didn't even occur to me to take a picture because I was like transfixed. I was like, it was so fascinating to see this object. And I didn't think for a second to get my camera. And I know this sounds totally counterintuitive, but I really didn't have this idea of going get my camera, and I have a good camera. I can really go high on ISO, and if it has to go fast, I can take pictures at night without having to have a tripod. But again, that's also something I didn't take pictures, and I don't regret it. I have it all in my mind, and yeah, that's about it. And what I could tell you is that what was strange, it was above this house of my neighbors, and my husband believes what I told him. He said, yes, I believe you. And so sometimes we just make jokes, you know, oh, if the neighbors knew what I saw over their house. So anyway, that was the encounter I had with an UAP, UFO. It was my very first encounter I ever had, and I haven't had any in the meantime. But so just to give you a brief overview about what happened that night in a few years back.
No, the interesting thing, when I have guests on here which have experience with aircrafts, have experience what's up in the sky, in your case, astronomy, you know, which I do, I've got a lot of guests on which have a very deep interest in the subject. So they always know what they're looking at, you know, where the star placements, the moons, aircrafts, everything. So in your head, you've gone over what it isn't.
Yes.
And then the wise words from your father, there are things up there which we simply can't explain.
Yes, absolutely. And when you are when you are an astronomer or hobby astronomer, you are aware of that also as a pilot, or when you're ideally both, often it comes together, because we only know, I think, about 5%, maybe even less, about our universe and how it behaves, where we come from, where it came from, there's so little we know. And yeah, that's something we know, we're aware of, and so there's plenty of room. At least it depends on your attitude, but you know so little. We cannot exclude anything. We cannot confirm, and we cannot exclude anything, because it's so vast, and we have discovered exoplanets which are outside of ours. Of course, exoplanets outside of our solar system. There could be other planets that have ideal an ideal situation to have some sort of life, whatever your kids consider as life. It can be a bacteria or whatever, is just a form of life. And it's so huge, the universe, so we don't know if we are alone or not. And so I think it's important to let that door open to accept that you cannot explain everything. Yeah.
When the light vanished, did it fade out or did it blink out?
Yeah, it blinked out.
Just like a light bulb.
It's like you turn off the light and it's gone. It wasn't fading. It was just, it was away. It was gone.
What kind of size would you have said this light was?
I was thinking about that too. So if you have Venus on the size of Venus, which is of course far away, but it's the brightest planet. It's actually the brightest object in the sky and among the planets, of course, as well. I would say that it depends, because depending on the position of Venus, and it can appear brighter or dimmer. I think it was double the size, much bigger. But, you know, it's always relative. When I say, for me, optically, it was double the size of a Venus that is has a high magnitude when it's very bright. So I think it was about double.
Okay. And your neighbor's house, how far away from your location?
Yeah, it's about 50 meters, not far. For Swiss standards, it's quite a nice distance, but it's quite close.
Okay. And you said that the light was above your neighbor's house.
Yes. But again, I think, from my perspective, well, it was definitely above his house, the roof. But kind of, again, I think about altitude must have been around 3,000 feet above the ground. So it was still over his house from my perspective. And again, towards where it was slightly in southwest. In southwest, we actually have this military air base, which is about maybe 8 miles away, 10 kilometers away. So just to let you know, there is a military base, air base. But it looked optically at it. It's been hovering above the house of my neighbors. Yeah.
Did you think to go down the path and knock on your neighbor's door and say, hey, look what's above your house?
No. It was 3 a.m. and the next day, and I never told them. Because, you know, I think even by doing astronomy, when you explain to people, for example, when about asteroids or things we know exist and it's documented scientifically, people can get very scared. Even when you tell them, yes, there have been asteroid impacts on Earth and it can happen again. So, and I thought, if I tell my neighbor, which they were very friendly people, I think they would have been shocked, I'm quite sure. And I didn't want that. Because to me, it wasn't a really big deal. For me, I wasn't shocked. I could sleep well. I wasn't scared. But I didn't want them to know. But they moved out about a year later. They sold their house. And there's now a new neighbor living in there, in the house, which is not so nice as the ones who were living there before. So that's why sometimes we crack jokes with my husband to say, yeah, if they knew. So, yeah.
Always the way. Now, the following night, did you go outside and see maybe if it returned?
I went outside quite a few times after that event to see if it's coming back. And it didn't come back. I haven't seen it again since, but I'm open for it. I'm always watching. I was watching last night again before going to bed. I always look.
You know, if you've gone out the following night and you haven't seen it, you can certainly say definitely wasn't a planet, definitely wasn't a star.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, actually, yeah.
Now, you know yourself, you know, you spend a lot of hours looking up, and you know, these days, there seems to be more and more satellites that are being sent up. And I'm sure you're very used to seeing all of Elon Musk's Starlinks. But do you ever see those lights up in the sky where they're on a linear path? So they look like satellites and they're on a linear path. And then they just seem to just change direction.
Well, I know ISS, which doesn't change direction and which is the most majestic one. It's very lovely to see it. I saw it actually yesterday morning. And that I see other objects, you can sometimes look it up, which are missiles when they do tests, which can be any country. There's a lot of stuff flying around. We have satellites, we have missiles, in fact, rockets, probably we would say in English. I'm not sure. It's tests. So you can see them. They can change direction. What I have once observed, actually not with my own eyes, but through my camera, because I made a long series of pictures. You know, when you have the meteor showers, every couple of months there are other types of meteor showers. Then I set up my DSLR in the garden. I just keep it running over a few hours, takes pictures for 30 seconds every minute. What I have seen once is I went through the pictures. It's about a series of about, I don't know, maybe 80, 90 pictures, even more. There was a star. I mean, there were stars on the pictures. And all of a sudden, I mean, I go through each picture every time after each session because I have to see if I have to discard anything. All of a sudden, I say, oh, there's a star missing. So I don't know. It can happen that you have phenomena. The star was like on 30 pictures, and on pictures 31, it disappeared. It wasn't on the picture anymore. And I don't know what it was.
Yeah, that is unusual.
I still have the data, so.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, it should be on all the pictures, really. They shouldn't vanish.
Yeah, one disappeared. It wasn't cloudy. But anyway, what you mentioned about these trajectories, which can change, yes, I have seen that too.
Another thing is, you know, the Iridium satellites that they had going for many years, they're the ones that as soon as they catch a glimpse of the sun, they flash.
Yes, just for a brief moment.
Just for a brief moment, that's right. And then they go all dark.
Yes.
I've seen that happen where I've seen a flash.
Yes.
Then it's carried on, and then it's flashed again and stopped and then continued to flash.
Yeah.
This, I don't really have any clue what that is.
I see that quite often. Also, you can also see then on the pictures, depending on, you know, how long the exposures you are setting. Definitely the case that you can see them, they flash, but just for a few seconds, maybe even 1 or 2 seconds or three, and then you can't see them anymore, and it flashes again. I have never researched about it, but I really don't know why.
But like you said, the military, I'm sure they have a lot of stuff up there which we don't really know about.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
So it's always got me. The more time you spend looking up, the more stuff you learn about. So I always tell people, if you get a chance, get a hobby like this. It's fascinating.
Yes.
Even if you don't see anything, it's just you're learning about the stars and the planets and stuff, and it's all interesting.
I would say, and I'm spending a lot of time in nature and then doing astronomy, astrophotography. And I mean, most of the time, except, you know, from seeing the ISS, which I love observing it. So it's very nice to observe. You can see the satellites, and often the satellites nowadays, you can only see them actually afterwards on the pictures because they're not all so very bright. Some have adjusted that, but they are, your pictures will still be photobombed by the satellites anyway. Then you have these objects which are clearly military, can be also satellites, rockets. Yeah, there's many, many things. And then, of course, then what could happen that you see a fireball, which has nothing, which is a natural phenomena, or which is rare, but you can, I already saw that as well. So you see many things. I saw one UAP in my life so far, and I don't exclude anything. I know it could happen again, and I'm open for the experience. Again, I don't think we know everything, and I'm also, again, I'm not scared about such phenomena as long as they don't want to, you know, and they don't approach me too much, but I'm really open and curious. Well, yeah. For such experiences.
Before we move on to your next experience, now, what was the one thing, you know, when you began astronomy, what was the one thing that made you go, wow, in the beginning?
It has to do with my childhood. My dad was always very interested in astronomy. He wasn't an astronomer, but he was also self-taught. And again, but he was a pilot, a private pilot. And he somehow transmitted that knowledge to me. And I was always fascinated because he would say, well, even as a child, look, this is Venus, this is Jupiter, this is this star, this, you know, he should look at the moon. He explained it to me. And so I was always fascinated by it. And later with my career, I was living abroad in different countries for quite a few years. Then I had another career in intelligence, which I can say, and has nothing to do with my observations, by the way. And I was very absorbed. And when I left my intelligence career in 2017, I loved my job. So it took me quite some time, you know, to figure out what I want to do next. And I also had quite some time at hand to, again, study and spend time doing astronomy and astrophotography. And it became just, I rediscovered this old passion. And I don't say it's a replacement for what I did before professionally, but somehow it is a little bit. And I'm really, really passionate about it. I think I clearly have also more energy and more time to really pursue that hobby. So that's how it came about that I'm today I'm doing whenever I can astronomy, taking pictures, but also making observations.
Great stuff. Get off your phones, get off the internet and get outside in nature. It's good for you. It's good for the soul.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Okay, great stuff. Would you like to move on to your next experience, please?
Yes, maybe. Those two experiences are from my childhood. Maybe I'll start with the very first one. I will make it brief, but because I was 5 or 6, I've been thinking yesterday and this morning again. And I was, it was in the evening. I was already in bed, and my parents quickly went to the neighbors. I think for about an hour, they were just next door. And they left me alone. I was always scared of the dark when I was a child. Not so much about the night, but I never wanted to have my room totally dark. So my mom, she always left, you know, she never, I always had this natural nightlight in my room. And when they left to my neighbors, they left the door of my room open and the light on in the corridor. And I was in my bed and I wasn't scared. I was fine. I knew they were just next door. And that was very strange. I was a child, and then I was scared. I couldn't sleep, and I turned and tossed and I looked at the door, which was open. And in the door frame, they were standing this very small creature, about 1 meter. It was very small. It was black. It wasn't like what people often tell, the grays, or, you know, with those big eyes. It had a very different shape. It was black. It was quite fat. Not too fat, but it was round and small. And it was staring at me. I was shocked. I cannot even tell you if it was staring at me, and it wasn't. I didn't feel it as threatening, but I didn't feel it was friendly. It was just like neutral. I can't say if it was hostile or friendly. It was just staring at me. I was very, very scared. And I decided I turned to towards the wall, and then I would look back again. It was still standing there. So I couldn't sleep. I thought it was best to ignore it. It didn't move. It just stared, and it didn't go away. And it was one single creature. It wasn't a human being, that I can confirm. Maybe, you know, maybe I was sleeping. I don't think so. I am convinced still up to this day I was totally awake. So what happens next? My parents came home, and I turned, and the thing was gone. So it was gone. So that was that experience. I cannot tell you very much about it. It's a very, very long time ago, but I never forgot it. It's I don't think about it every day, but it's clearly, I have a clear memory about it. So that was this. And then later I started to play the violin when I was 6 or 7. And my violin teacher, she was a great teacher. And she had a very interesting approach. Before each lesson, we would do like 5 minutes of meditation. And I was a child. So I learned from early childhood on a bit about meditation. Just to, you know, stay grounded before you take your instrument, to be calm and ready for the violin lesson and the music play. And so I was got introduced to meditation from early childhood. And I remember, I think I was about 11, maybe 12 years old. And I was, even as a child, young child, and then later, I was always practicing meditation before falling asleep. And I still do up to this day. And I remember one night, I was really, I think, very in deep meditation. I was about 11, 12. And all of a sudden, I could feel like a force pulling me up, lifting me up my body. And my eyes were closed, but I could feel I was in the air. I was flying. I wasn't flying. I was stationary, but I was just, I knew I wasn't in my bed anymore. I was in the air. And I couldn't move. It was impossible to move for me. And the next thing was, I saw myself from outside of my body. I don't know. I saw my body. I saw myself in my bed from this perspective from the air. So it was like a split. It's like the body was still in the bed, but I was outside of my body. It seemed, because I could see myself from, like, an observer from above. And I couldn't move again. I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything about it. It just kept going, and I panicked. And the next day, the next thing that happened is that I was on the floor. I left this kind of trance or whatever it was, this experience, and I found myself on the floor in next to my bed. So I could somehow, with my panic, maybe I could like free myself from this experience. But it was a very hard landing, I can tell you. So again, I didn't dream. I'm convinced up to this day this really happened to me. I have no explanation how this is possible. It never happened to me again afterwards. because I was, ever since I really try not to go too deep into meditation state, because I know it can happen. So maybe I'm a bit scared about it today from having had this experience. But yeah, that was basically these three things I witnessed in my life, independent of what I did professionally. Or maybe also I have to mention that I would say overall a very rational human being. I always want to go to the bottom of things. I'm doing a lot of research on astronomy, other things. I have a very broad, very many interests, and I like to dig, to do research. But I'm also, it's a term they say today, it's like hypersensitivity, which I don't like labels, but I'm not easily, how do you say, I don't feel, the thing is that I can feel many things. I can, someone is sitting next to me and this person isn't doing well or is not feeling good. I can feel it immediately, and I can feel many things that other people can't feel, I think. So I'm sensitive in this sense that I'm very aware of people and my environment. So I'm receptive to energy from people, moods. I can really read cues very fast. Most of the time I'm right. And I've made errors as well of judgment or my intuition isn't always reliable, but most of the time and my feelings and what I can sense is correct. So that's about what I can tell you, what I've had since I was a child. I don't feel traumatized by it. Maybe the meditation thing, I wouldn't go too deep anymore today. But otherwise, I think it's fascinating.
You know, I spoke to a Buddhist monk a while ago about this, because I had an out-of-body experience a few years ago. And that was something which is a concern for a lot of people. They're worried that if they step out of their body, or when they have stepped out of their body in this case, they're worried that they won't be able to go back.
Yes.
And, you know, I spoke to this monk about it, and he said, you are one of the same, completely connected to your body. So there's no way that when you do leave your body that you will just float away and forever be separated. Even though you can leave and probably leave for a while and float around and become a bit of a tourist for a bit, you'll always connect to your body. So you'd always snap back, as they say. That was something which kind of concerned me early on.
Yes, that's really a big concern, because you're panicking. You think, I can't go back. But so it's reassuring that you're telling me from this Buddhist monk that we can always reconnect, or we stay connected and we can go back.
That's right. When mine happened, in hindsight, I wished I had wandered out of the room and wandered around the street.
Yeah.
But it didn't occur to me at the time. I was too, I think, I wouldn't say shocked, but I was, wow.
It's very disturbing. I mean, or shocking.
Yeah, because I didn't know what was going on. It wasn't like I was meditating beforehand. I literally went to bed and went to sleep. And then I woke up and then I'm just looking at myself.
Yeah.
But it's crazy, and it's something I wished I could explore more. I mean, you sound like you're very possibly empathic.
Yes, highly, yeah.
Well, you know people's mood.
Yes.
You can always tell someone's pregnant before they've told everyone.
Yes. I could, usually, yeah.
I bet she has a boy.
This I can't, but I really feel, you know, it's always about, is it feeling or is it from? It's like a mix of intuition, feeling, and what you have experienced before in your life. But I know I can really, most of the time, I can rely on my intuition or this sensitivity. And it's very positive. I think it's something very good, because you can also anticipate things, or maybe reach out to someone and maybe check on them because you feel something might be going on. It's maybe this person isn't feeling well or whatever. But at the same time, what I always had to really work hard on, and it's still a struggle, is to set barriers. Because when you could feel it so intensely, it could really eat also away a lot of your energy. So this is also why I'm doing meditation. It's just to really, also a bit to protect myself. and not just be always like having my radar on and constantly taking in. But I would say it's something basically very positive.
Obviously, don't go into your previous career, but I'm sure in a lot of situations, having this kind of gift, it would come in handy.
Yes.
Not everyone out there are genuine. You know, they always have your best intentions at heart.
So, absolutely.
You know, so in situations, I'm sure it would come in handy.
Yes, it helped me quite many times because you can be wrong. And I think I was wrong once and it can happen. I mean, but the daily job and on the missions, it was because you couldn't feel the person immediately. And they are fake, you know, people who don't have good intentions, who are lying, who are trying to deceive you. And it really is very helpful when you can take these cues, when you can see, oh, there's something, I feel it. And now how they behave and what they say and what they do. And you observe it and you take it in and you get a pretty good picture very fast. And again, you can't be wrong. It happened to me as well, but it's very helpful. It actually can be life-saving.
Yes. You know, when people have gut feelings about people and situations, you know, listen to what your body's telling you.
Yeah.
Listen, because, you know, like you said, not everyone has good intentions. And
yes.
So wonderful. Great stuff. Okay. Now, before you had your UFO sighting, did you really have much other than a passing interest in the subject?
Not much. Again, I wasn't, how can I say? I was never really following a lot of these discussions about UFO, UAP. It's also not the case that I would dismiss it. It was just never something I really followed very closely. Wasn't on my radar, maybe. What happened? Again, I had this UAP UFO encounter in 2017 or 18. And I think what was a bit the trigger and what made me curious about this is in 2017 or 18, when actually I only learned about it, I think, in 2019. Then there was this New York Times article about these Tic Tac videos. Everybody knows, has seen the article, has read it and seen the Tic Tac video. There are others. And because it came from pilots and I also have been training on small aircraft. And again, as I've been spending much of my childhood with my dad in aircraft, I thought, well, that's pilots. You know, I know it sounds silly and I don't want to say other people aren't credible, but for me, this had some kind of level of credibility, which is when a pilot and I know how these cameras, and of course it's not a high definition, high resolution picture. We know that they don't make those cameras, aren't made for that. So I thought that was so interesting, and I then watched him on the Joe Rogan show, the pilot and from the Tic Tac video. And I saw other things. I really started to, you know, being more interested in it. And I've been following some podcasters who are well known and who's sometimes I think they also go overboard a bit. And then I discovered you, you know, where, on X, actually. And I was thinking that's a very interesting approach. To have people, everyday people, speaking about their experiences without constantly interrupting them, except maybe if they're trying to find a word, and then, you know, just have these small follow-up questions. And I really like the way you are doing your podcast, and I like the approach. And I think I have within the past month or two, I've been like listening to not all, but very many of your podcasts, and they're excellent. It's very good. Again, the more I go forward, the more I think I will stay tuned and, you know, have an open mind about it and continue to observe the sky, not just for the celestial objects as we know them and the phenomena, but also for maybe other phenomena we even have even less scientific knowledge to explain.
Wonderful. That's good to hear. At this point in the podcast, it's a case of if something's not broke, don't fix it. And I think there are so many podcasts out there which are more question-based and conversation-based. So I didn't really want to go down that route because there's so many others.
Yes.
But this format works. People like to hear people's experiences. You know, we don't get people on here to pick holes in their accounts or anything like that. It's just a place where people come and share. And you'll be surprised the amount of scientists and astronomers that listen to the show that haven't had experiences, but they have an interest.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a lot more because of from 2017.
Yeah.
So which they have an interest. And, you know, I've had emails from scientists and they've said, you know, I've never had an interest in this. I always thought it was baloney.
Yeah.
But now they believe that it's something which should be taken seriously. So that's great. And do you know, you're actually only the second guest from Switzerland.
I didn't know. So I'm not alone. I thought, well, I'm not sure if there were many Swiss, and I haven't gone through all your podcasts yet. You can send me the link afterwards.
I'll send you the link, yeah. It's got to be a couple of years ago now, but we do have a nice listening base in Switzerland, so more should come forward.
Possibly some may even know me, identify me, which is okay, you know, but maybe not. But it's interesting to know that so many people, even from Switzerland, are listening to your podcast.
Of course. And what I always say to people, you know, if anyone does recognize a guest and they're listening to the show, it just simply means that they have an open mind and they're also interested in the subject as well.
Yes.
And we are listened to all over the world. Every single country we have listeners in, which is great.
That's fantastic.
Apart from North Korea. I think it's only North Korea.
Yes, those poor, they are, unfortunately, they don't have access to this kind of information and even not to food most of the time, I think,
That's right. And pretty much the same goes for China, but they do listen, but generally on VPNs.
Yeah.
So, but we are listened to, which is great, you know.
That's very good. I'm very happy for you that you have such a great big community out there, a global one. And again, I think it's a very nice way to set up, you know, the angle you have. It's a very good. I really enjoy your podcast.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. That's great.
Thank you, Nick.
It's nice and easy, isn't it?
Well, yes, once you started. But I think with you, also you have a very calm manner, your voice, and I thought that could really go well, you know. I wasn't very nervous this morning. I was surprised. I was more nervous last night, but this morning I wasn't. I thought, no, it's really cool that you're also taking your time to speak to the people before then, you know, recording the actual segment you will air. So I think that's so helpful. And thanks very, very much for having me on your show.
It was our pleasure. It was great to speak to you and hear about your account.
And if I should ever have again an encounter, I would reach out to you again.
Be sure to. Okay. I really appreciate you coming on, sharing that for our listeners.
Yes. Thanks so much, Nick.
No problem. Take care.
You too. All the best and talk soon.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye, Nick. Bye.
Bye-bye. That is all for today. Keep updated and connected with the show on X, Facebook and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Issa for sharing tonight and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.